Welcome to episode 2 of Just Talk. I'm Sienna Craigie, and today we want to answer a question. How do we get people interested in criminal justice reform? Well, to answer that question, we need to know how to get people interested in a story. Any story. So, we turn to John Levine. John Levine is a United States journalist, educator, and currently the chief executive officer of strategicmediagroup.com. Previously, he was a media company publisher and editor, and then professor and dean of Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, as well as a professor of media management and strategy at the Kellogg School of Management. For more than 30 years, Levine has studied and spoken internationally about emerging media, content trends, and how to increase audience engagement and understanding. Most recently, he has produced digital learning content for more than 40,000 professionals in 194 countries and focused on building social media with measured return on investment. We are excited and honored to have John Levine on the podcast. In this next clip, John and I talk about what is a, quote, hard-to-tell story and how to tell it. What is a hard-to-tell story?
There are two parts to hard-to-tell stories. The obvious one is the complexity of the story you're trying to tell. You know, is it unto itself complicated? An example being science or engineering or something that a lay audience generally doesn't understand, or something brand new, or something that seems contradictory to the norm. All of those and many more are examples of hard-to-tell stories. But the other part is most often stories have been told from the viewpoint of the storyteller. So the media, print, digital, audio, whatever, says, I want to tell a story to an audience, I or we, and this is what I believe the audience needs to know, and by golly, they're gonna pay attention to it. Instead of saying, the world has changed, and you could tell the most wonderful story possible, create the greatest video, podcast, book, write a book, whatever. If the audience doesn't pay attention to it, it's as if it didn't happen. And so the world has gone from an era, you know, in the middle of the 20th century where most people had limited sources of content coming at them, and the people that ran radio, television, newspapers, wrote books, whatever, were sort of gatekeepers. They picked what you knew. Now, people have somewhere between 40 and 60 unallocated minutes in a day. They spend 7 to 15 seconds deciding what they're going to read as it comes across their screen. If they don't pay any attention to the thing you have that pops up as a headline or a long-form piece, any sort of story, then it didn't happen. And, you know, that's the real world. So you must understand the audience. Summary. There are complicated stories to tell. That's part of the equation. And if you don't understand what interests the audience, they won't give you their time and attention. And it's as if whatever you prepared for that story didn't happen.
You said something earlier, which is that if people don't look at a story, it's almost like it didn't happen, right?
It isn't almost. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Right.
But beyond looking at your audience, is there anything you can do to get people to look at a story?
Yes. Well, okay. So the things you need to know about your audience are what interests them, what concerns them, what problems do they have that need solving? What do their friends care about? The first three are personal. The last one, what do their friends care about, relates to the fact that Generation Z, more than the generations before it, trust and care deeply about their friends. and whether they're buying something in a store or paying attention to something that deals with criminal justice, it's much more likely that they will do it if their friends are talking about it and are thought interested in it or care about it. More than any other generation, that's the starting place for Gen Z. So you want to find out something that matters to the people you're trying to reach. And that means asking them, spending time with them. Next, you want to find out what media they use to get information. And, you know, it might be that they say, well, I listen to podcasts. Or I don't listen to podcasts at all. I watch videos on YouTube or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever the new platform is. You want to go where they are, not where you want them to be. So if you do the steps I just outlined, what you'll say is, you know, they are concerned about climate change, getting a job. Some big concerns we know they have are financial insecurity. So, you know, if they're concerned about financial insecurity, then talking about criminal justice as a big topic is probably less effective than saying, you know, if you have financial concerns, this is going on in criminal justice and this will change and here's how it will affect you. If they're concerned about marketing, that is just selling, bang, you know, buy, 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 buy. But they're interested in marketers, brands that are helpful. Instead of pushing the sales, they're pushing, here's a way to buy a good-looking jean that'll last a lot longer. It'll cost you less. It'll take less time. It'll this, it'll that. You know, then that's a different branding mechanism. Approach, not mechanism. It's a different branding approach that really is a big change.
How is it a change?
Well, because most marketers are incented by their firms and have grown up thinking the name of the game is selling, so I'm going to constantly sell. Instead of the name of the game is really understanding the customer and providing an answer to something that concerns them. So there was a period, this is not today, but not that far in the past, when automobile dealers realized that there was a huge number of young families, and many of the decisions about buying a car were made by the moms in the families, and they were a lot more interested in the safety of the car and the safety of how it would survive an accident than they were about the style or the horsepower or the fuel economy. But, you know, it seemed to marketers for a while, they just said, well, that isn't why people buy cars. They buy it because we put this new spiffy engine in it, or we changed the headlights and the taillights, and the style is much more. Well, it was the wrong customer with the wrong message. You know, they were saying there's this rising tidal wave of accidents, and I want to know my young family is going to be safe. That sounds simple. I mean, you would think that the first thing they would do is say, oh, okay, we'll change the message. But that isn't the way it works. Marketers didn't understand their audience, and they didn't respond. Well, similarly with criminal justice. People in the criminal justice world assume that the public is interested in it, and assume that the changes that they are supporting will matter to the public, without having any notion whether the public is interested in it and whether they will think that the changes being offered really impact their concerns, especially 18 to 20-year-olds. You know, public policy people don't know much about 18 to 20-year-olds. They haven't learned what really interests and concerns them. And so they say, you know, you should be interested in prison reform. you should be interested in recidivism. You know, the 18 to 20-year-old is saying, I don't think so. I have very little time. I'm going to spend it on things that matter to me. And this is far away. It doesn't affect me. Well, you better find out what affects them. Now, safety on the streets, investing their money safely, getting, you know, crime at the places they work, harassment and what that means and what the options are. All of those things are part of the criminal justice world and part of justice reform. But pick out the ones that matter to the audience.
After this conversation, I had answers, but these answers created more questions. What is Generation Z interested in? How are their interests affected by criminal justice? Find out on the next week of Just Talk. Thank you to John Levine for being on this episode and Ms. Dorr for sponsoring it. I'm going to end with a statistic here. The prison population went up from 196,441 in the year 1970 to nearly 2.3 million today. Tune in next week.